Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a calm conversation about topics that you bring to the table today, because people have reached out to us on Instagram after we asked for topic ideas, and so today's episode will be all about that. I want to thank you for listening. I'm your host, Marco Timpano.
I'm right here. I'm Amanda Barker.
You're listening to The Insomnia Project. So if you tuned into a different podcast, get ready to be calm and drift away.
Imagine you were tuning into something very different.
There is another podcast called The Insomnia Project, which is a sci-fi podcast.
Oh, no.
I know. They decided to take or use the name that we've had for years.
It's such a specific name.
I know. But
well, maybe their sci-fi puts people to sleep.
Maybe some of their sci-fi listeners are listening to us.
Maybe you can listen to us and imagine we're in another universe.
Speaking of universes, Amanda, mm-hmm. We did a little Instagram story, I guess you could say.
I don't know. I'm so rarely on Instagram.
Well, you did a little chat.
A little
sort of hello. And it received quite a bit of attention. People really liked seeing you.
Thank you, everyone. Yeah.
And we got more show ideas from that.
That's so great. That's what it's about.
If you haven't followed us yet, you can follow us on Instagram at The Insomnia Project or on Twitter at Listen and Sleep.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of these show ideas? I'm very intrigued.
So Lisa reached out to us, and
she's also
a patron on Patreon, and she has some ideas
for
the
Patreon. Lisa here, and we'll say hi to Lisa when we do the Patreon episode. And probably a segue, just a reminder, if you want to be a Patreon and receive ad-free content, you can do it for a very low price. I actually don't know what that price is, but
I think
it's low.
$2 a month for the base, and then depending on what you want, like, we do a segment where I ask you your book reviews,
mm-hmm.
and so I need to do one where there, and you tell us the latest.
I have some new ones, by the way. Yeah,
we'll
I've been reading quite a bit lately.
Anyways, and it goes up from there.
Cool. So that's just an option for anyone who ever wants it. But
that's patreon.com/theinsomniaproject, or go to our show notes where you'll find it.
We don't plug. We're really not pluggy marketing people at all.
No.
So excuse us every now and then. To be honest, it's just letting people know the service is there.
It's true.
But
it's
this
true.
Podcast is here. You can listen
Speaking
to it
Speaking of plugs, did you remember PBS and how they would always have their fundraisers?
Yeah, I loved them.
I love them, too. I always found that to be very calm, too, was PBS.
Yes, very calm. Bernadette Peters telling you, you know, if you want to watch the whole thing, we work so hard to get this quality programming to you.
Bernadette Peters never told me
You know
anything.
Why? Because my parents in Florida watch a lot of PBS. They watch a lot of Antiques Roadshow.
Love it.
And then local Floridians, people who have homes or live in Florida at least part-time or full-time, do the PBS fund. And Bernadette Peters is one of them. I think
she lives in Florida,
she's
right?
got a house or something,
okay.
Yeah.
She doesn't do it here in Toronto, Buffalo.
Ours is Buffalo. And I grew up in the flagship home of PBS, which is Boston.
Oh, and so what celeb did it there?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember celebs. I just remember...
Okay.
You know, local PBS people.
I know here there was always a woman with a Dorothy Hamill cut.
Okay.
And she had kind of blonde hair.
Okay.
I want to say her name was like Phoebe or Stevie or something like that. Yeah.
An E name.
Yeah.
Evie.
Yeah. So.
Gosh, now I'm trying to remember the PBS fundraising drives of my youth. I think like older people, like old, so it would have been like people who were stars from like the 60s. Like. When we saw it in the 80s.
I see. Okay, so sure.
But
sure.
I don't know who any of those people, like the David Hasselhoffs of yesteryear, right, kind of thing, like right. Coiffed older men.
I hate to break it to you, but David Hasselhoff is an old star as we, and when you say David Hasselhoff.
That's what I mean, yesteryear. Because now he would be an older star, right? He would be an old man on doing that kind of drive.
Sure.
So I mean of yesteryear, so the people who are on Bonanza.
Right. Michael Landon, yeah, Lorne
Michael
Green.
Michael Landon, I think, did do PBS.
Well, he was on Bonanza. Lorne
Green. Was he?
Yeah, Lorne Green.
Hmm.
The guy who played Hoss.
Any of them. I don't know any of these names. I don't know these old...
Kitty Carlisle or something like that.
I don't know. Old Western Hollywood-y. And then you'd yell, Mom, that's somebody you like.
Right.
I remember Loretta Lynn was on The Muppets. Whenever there was somebody on The Muppets... like that, I would yell to my mom, guess who's on the Muppets?
I saw Loretta Lynn perform once live, and she was fantastic.
I have a marital bone to pick with you.
This has nothing to do with what
this
Lisa
wants. This is everything. This is so calming. Lisa said, please have a marital dispute on her. I think she did.
Okay.
We will get to that in just a moment, but I just need to say this,
sure.
Marco. I spent the last 13 years blissfully married to you.
Uh-oh.
And I often hear, and we were together some time before that, mm-hmm. and I often hear you say, oh, I saw this person.
Yeah.
And I saw that person.
Sure.
I saw them live. They were great.
Exactly. But
I noticed that you and I, don't go to any of these shows together. You saw all these wonderful acts, and we have seen one or two things at best live.
We saw Dolly.
And what else did we see?
We saw
in 13 years.
We saw Garth Brooks and his wife perform a Christmas show.
Yeah, that wasn't Garth Brooks. That was Vince Gill.
Same thing.
Not really.
And we saw.
And also his wife, Amy.
Trish Yearwood.
No.
Amy Grant.
Amy Grant and Vince Gill.
That's right. They're married together.
Don't do a key party with them. Amy Grant and Vince Gill.
Trish Yearwood is married to Garth Brooks.
Who we did not see live.
I saw them live.
When?
I thought it was with you. No, I did not see them live.
Yes, and they were, and Vince Gill and Amy Grant put on a beautiful, beautiful Christmas show at the Ryman in Nashville.
They're wonderful. If you get a chance
to see them. What a beautiful show that was.
Or Garth Brooks. Or Dolly Parton, or if you get a chance to watch a Loretta Lynn concert, I recommend it.
Isn't Loretta Lynn gone?
Yes, she is.
You mean like a taped?
Yeah,
version?
A tape, like a videotape or a...
A videotape.
Or...
If you can find a videotape in a yard sale and then find a VCR at a Goodwill.
Or then... if you watch PBS in your city and they happen to show past Loretta Lynn.
You know who does a lot of PBS fundraising drives? Carol Burnett.
She's awesome.
Yeah. She does a lot. And she did them in the yes. She was the Carol Burnett of yesteryear as well.
Yes.
She did them a lot. Yeah. She's amazing.
She's so great. Okay. Back to Lisa's question.
Okay.
Lisa, thank you for staying with us as we.
Well, we don't know that she did.
She may not have. Lisa says, what makes the best cafe or coffee shop in your opinion?
I feel like you have strong feelings.
I have very strong feelings about this. And I was actually speaking with friends. Recently, yesterday, just mm-hmm. yesterday about this.
Okay.
Actually, to be honest with you, I was speaking to friends at a restaurant yesterday, and I also had a Facebook conversation with Lucy DeRosa, good friend of ours, mm-hmm. based in Brooklyn. Shout out to Lucy. She mm-hmm. often listens. Mm-hmm. About coffee.
Okay.
And how oftentimes when you get drip coffee at coffee shops, it's not very good.
Right.
It tastes like swamp water, let's say.
It's thin and doesn't do what it needs to do.
Or it's too strong, like it's been boiling away till it gets to tar.
I think a lot of coffee gives coffee a bad name.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I was not a coffee drinker until you and I was an occasional coffee drinker, but I wasn't a daily coffee drinker, I don't think, until you and I joined forces. And I think if you had been in my life sooner, I would have been a coffee drinker sooner. But I do think a lot of coffee gives coffee a bad name.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say that.
So for me, Lisa, if I'm having espresso and I go into a coffee shop and they don't give me the option of a single or a double, and they always just pull doubles because that's what they do, I have a problem with that because I like my cappuccinos to be one part coffee, one part milk, one part froth.
And which is how they do it in
Italy, of course, right? In so Europe, I should say.
Who's pulling the doubles? Americans? And then Canadians as well?
I'm not gonna finger point at anyone because it happens in many places. Okay. So I find we go to coffee houses here in
Definitely in Toronto. It's a thing.
And they'll pull doubles and I'll say I want a single.
Now what do you mean? Not everyone knows what you mean when you say pull doubles.
Okay.
That's a very technical term.
It's an industry term for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a technical term.
It's not a term that I would just say, can you pull me a double?
Right.
Not in terms of coffee anyway.
Sure. When would you use that? Can you pull me a double? I hate to guess, but anyways. So when you have an espresso handle, I'll call it.
Okay.
It has a proper term and I can't think of it right now. But you know, the thing that they use in the espresso machine.
So the piece, I'm going to try to describe it and you tell me
of course.
If this is what you mean. The piece of the espresso machine that holds the coffee grinds themselves, that's the gateway between the machine and the cup that it's serving.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you. That's a great way to describe it, and I appreciate that. So that handle will often have a spout. And if it has one spout...
The handle will have a spout?
The bottom, the reservoir of the handle
that will have... piece has a spout.
Has a spout,
And a handle.
And a handle, that's correct. That's why I was saying... Yeah, it looks like... It kind of looks like that.
Yes,
it has a name. You'll probably see it on there. So it has a
group spout. Head, I think it's called here.
Okay.
No, the portafilter.
The portafilter is the filter part. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
No, it does. I mean, we're talking about it intentionally, so it does matter.
Okay, so I guess it's called the...
Group head.
Group head? Okay, I've never heard it called that, but...
No, I know, but you said the handle has a spout, so that means that's a different image that you're creating.
Sure.
So I just want to be clear with what we're saying.
The handle doesn't have the spout. The filter basin that has the coffee grinds in it will have a spout. And if it has a single spout, it will pull a single shot.
Okay.
If it has a double spout, it will pull two shots.
And when you say pull?
It means it will percolate a single shot or a double shot.
Say that word again.
Percolate.
I say percolate. Percolate?
I don't even think it percolates, to be honest with you.
Percolate.
It brews.
Okay.
It brews. Yeah, because it doesn't even really brew.
I say browse.
No, you don't. It performs the espresso.
Performs it.
Extraction. How would you say it?
No, I like that. It performs the espresso extraction is a beautiful. I think everyone should weave that into their morning vernacular. I'm going to perform the espresso extraction.
So if you only have a single spout, it'll only do a single shot. If you have a double spout, it will brew or perform a double shot for your...
A double shot extraction or pull a double.
It'll pull a double, right? Now, here's the funny thing. Some of them don't even have the spouts. So they just kind of fall. Like it just has a...
Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was ever a spout involved. I'm learning this tonight.
So as a result, as a result, the espresso, when you pull a double shot, it's intense and it's more coffee than I want.
It's twice the amount of coffee.
It doesn't balance with the amount of
milk.
In
your latte or cappuccino.
So for me, it's too strong. I don't enjoy it that way. Mm-hmm. So when I ask someone to pull a single shot, but they only have the double, because a lot of restaurants will only have doubles, double spouts, they will stop it. They'll start it and then they'll stop it manually.
Oh, okay.
But the problem with that is you don't have the full expression of the crema, which is
the full expression or espression of espresso?
Expression. It gets expressed, right?
And what is the crema?
The crema is the top layer of the espresso coffee that's slightly frothed.
Okay.
And it has a light brown color to it. So whereas espresso coffee is dark brown, it has a lighter brown. There's a little bit of texture and thickness in that crema, and it has a smooth finish. So you want the crema.
Okay.
But if you manually stop it, you don't get the full expression of the coffee.
I see. So is it the machine's fault?
No, it's the person who thinks that they can just stop it whenever they want to make a single shot. That's not how you do it. What you would do is you would put two small espresso cups under both spouts.
Okay.
Hit the button that'll time how long the espresso is being filtered through.
Okay.
Let's say 26 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And one spout would go in one espresso cup, one spout would go in another espresso cup, and you would have a single shot in each.
So, since we're here, yes, I'm going to ask a hotly debated question to someone who I believe knows the difference.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference, the true difference, between a cappuccino and a latte?
Okay, so that's a great question. So a cappuccino is one part espresso, one part milk, equal parts.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so equal parts espresso, milk, and foam. But as we know it here in North America, it's not actually equal parts, because we use bigger
drinking vessels.
Drinking.
Like a proper cappuccino is actually in a smaller cup, right? Like a demi-tasse.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But we often have cappuccinos that are big.
Right.
Grandes or whatever.
Sure. And a latte is mainly milk with the slightest amount of foam on the top.
So a latte has more milk.
It has more milk, yeah, because latte means
milk. And less foam,
right,
too.
So here's, okay, so to answer part of Lisa's question,
mm-hmm,
when I go to a coffee place that I like,
mm-hmm,
how do I determine if I'm going to have an espresso, a cappuccino, or a latte? It often depends on what I'm going to be doing afterwards. So if I'm going for a longer car ride,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to get a latte because it's going to last me longer. The volume of milk to coffee ratio is bigger,
mm-hmm,
and therefore I'm going to enjoy it on the road. If I'm having coffee with, say, a friend, Trevor, Dale, Lucy in Brooklyn,
mm-hmm,
I'm probably going to have a cappuccino because we're going to sit and drink it out of a cup.
I see.
And so I can monitor how much I'm going to drink with my friends as we talk and laugh.
Okay.
If I need to just get that dose of caffeine,
mm-hmm,
and I want to be in and out, I'll get the espresso. Or if I'm with friends and it's at the end of the evening,
mm-hmm,
or we're about to do some work,
mm-hmm,
I'll get an espresso corretto. And corretto means they do a glug, just a quick shot of liquor in your espresso.
So here's my question.
Yes. And I do that with Daniela and Trevor.
Warm milk has something in it, right, that makes people sleepy?
Yes, I would say so.
So I always wondered, like, isn't it counterintuitive to put espresso into warm milk?
No, because the caffeine in the espresso is
caffeine wins over the milk?
Well, listen, I'm not a bioscientist here.
Yet.
Nor am I a lactician. So I don't know the difference.
But I always wondered that.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I sometimes think a latte is going to make you sleepier because it's so much more milk that's heated.
I mean, I think the warm milk has a calming effect. I don't necessarily think it has a sleepy effect.
So since we're in Lisa's world here with Lisa's question, I would love to hear about some cafes you've visited in the past that you consider memorable.
Okay, great question.
And why, too? Paint a picture.
So I loved going to coffee places in Istanbul, Turkey.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You didn't see that one coming, right? Because I love...
Didn't we have tea in Istanbul? No, I guess we had coffee. We did.
We had Turkish coffee.
Yeah, beautiful.
Which forces you to sit and wait for the grinds to fall before you drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we had the Turkish coffee with a little bit of that...
Yeah.
Liquor.
Mastique. Yeah, the thing about Turkish coffee is that it begs for time and patience.
Yes.
So it's a process. You cannot just have a quick sip. It's the opposite, actually, of being in Italy at a bar where so many people in the morning go to a quick bar, cafe, whatever, and they don't even sit. They just stand at the bar, have a quick espresso, and off they go. So a Turkish coffee would be the absolute opposite of that. Maybe something to have at night after a meal or mid-afternoon, I think we did. We were in Turkey in, I believe, November, early December. So it was cooler then. I was wearing, I remember, a big gray sweater.
Sure.
And so it wasn't cold, cold, but it was certainly a cooler European moment or Asian moment, because Turkey is both, isn't it? It's both Asia Turkey, and Europe.
Yeah, it spans.
But the whole country is both Asia and Europe, right? It's not half and half. I don't think. I think the whole thing is considered part
again,
of either.
I don't know exactly, and I don't want to make a mistake because...
Sure. Well, anyway, Turkey is considered the gateway, the bridge
right.
of the two. And of course, Asia into the Middle East.
And I loved that we could also get that tea that you were talking about in Turkey at the cafes.
That mint tea?
It was mint. It was different teas, but they were in little glass, tall glass mm-hmm. Vessels.
Mm-hmm. And everything was served with just a little tiny square or two of Turkish delight. So that chewy, delicious...
candied.
Almost covered in... like a powdered sugar,
yeah.
Pistachio flavor, pomegranate yeah. flavors. There's a few others, but
there was
really delicious.
Something so delightful about that, Amanda.
Oh, so nice.
And I looked it up. That handle that I was talking about is called a portafilter. Is that what you said it was?
I did at one point.
Okay,
yeah.
So yeah, I'm confirming
you're
it's
back
a
there now.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm that. So that was one of my cafes that I loved. Okay. I should say the cafes in Istanbul. I didn't pick one.
Mm-hmm.
Then. You know, there's certain cafes in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I love going to an autostop, which is a pullover on the highway.
An auto grill?
Like an auto grill. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I was like, what's autostop?
Auto grill, autostop.
They're called different things, I guess.
Auto grills are a chain.
I see.
Yeah, so an autostop would mean you stop your auto on like off the highway. And those are one of my favorite places to just grab a quick espresso, down it and go, or, you know, a coffee beverage.
I know my very, very first day in Europe, we're on a Europe bender right now. Mm-hmm. My very first day in Europe was my first afternoon in Monaco.
Sure.
And I went across the street from the little apartment that I was living in. And met my boss, who I was going to be working for, and his wife. And we met at the Café du Paris, which is, you know, there's obviously one in Paris too.
Sure.
But there's one in Monaco. And it's right by the casino in Monte Carlo. It's just your very typical café, bistro kind of thing.
Sure.
But I'll never forget going to that café and having a café au lait. You know, just sitting in the sun. And I tried tartare for the first time there, which was all new to me at that age and that time. So that one really sticks out, I think, just because it was my very, very first moment in Europe. So yeah, that's one that sticks out to me. I'm trying to think of some other cafes.
One of my favorites is the one off of Oakwood.
Mm-hmm.
What they did was they took an old house and you walk into as if you were walking into the door of a house and it's an espresso bar.
Yeah. Do you remember the name of it?
I call it Acorn, but it's not.
And it has an acorn on it, but I believe it's called Oakwood Espresso, isn't it?
I think it's called Oakwood Espresso, but I called it Acorn and I made Amanda try to find it.
And he kept saying, look in the GPS, just type in Acorn. Just type
in Acorn. There's one in Michigan.
There's a place in Ohio.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of Ohio, there's an amazing cafe. As funny as this sounds, there's an amazing cafe in Akron, Ohio.
Sure.
Akron is a university town.
Love it.
A lot of great bands and music has come from Akron, from the Midwest. The Black Keys most recently, but there's lots of other ones too. And there's a place called Angel Hair Cafe in Akron. I believe it's sort of a staple in Akron, and it was a beautiful cafe, and it was... one of those, I would say, like the quintessential American university cafe experience.
Okay.
So huge delights, date squares and gluten-free everything and every type of coffee and syrup imaginable, but done in a way that's very homey, very lovely. I remember the staff there being lovely. And for me, that's a key part of any cafe experience. You want the warmth and the welcome.
Sure.
Now, Café du Paris was not that at all. It was the least warm thing. The waiters did not care about you at all.
Okay.
Angel Hair Cafe, I believe that's what it's called. I'm going to look it up just to be sure. I just remember the warmth of the people there were so lovely and so sweet. And it was a lovely experience. I haven't thought about that place in a while, so I hope it's still around.
What's so funny, Amanda, is we're getting to the end of our episode and we have like four other people who had things we wanted to talk about.
Those are other episodes.
That's going to be other episodes. Yeah. But I want to thank everyone who had topics that they brought forward on Instagram. Continue to do so. Thank you to T. We'll be talking about yours.
Sorry. You're not wrapping up, are you?
Soon. No, I've got time, but I just
I need to make a correction.
Sure.
I got the name wrong.
Okay.
So can I just jump in here?
Of course you
can. I'm sorry, T. I'm so sorry, but we will talk about yours. But it's called Angel Falls Coffee.
I see.
There's no hair involved, no hair in your food, no hair in the title. Angel,
and they don't make angel hair pasta.
They don't, that I know of. But see, like, look at the, when you just look at it, like, look at the
good
cinnamon buns and the lemon squares and just anything you could want of a baked goods coffee shop with excellent coffee.
So it's called Angel?
Angel Falls Coffee.
Located?
Akron, Ohio.
Does it have the address there?
Sure, yeah. It's 792 West Market Street.
There
That's downtown, downtown in Akron. You know, I traveled all across the states. There's lots of cafes I could talk about, but that one really jumps out at me.
Cool. Well, once again, T, thank you for giving us a suggestion. Emma wanted to say that she gave us the suggestion from last week's episode, birth flowers and their meaning, and thought it was really hilarious how you were trying to pronounce their last name.
And did I get it right?
I don't think so.
No one knows.
I think it's Dolphin. I'm going to guess Dolphin. There's a J in there. So it throws us off, me off.
Love a silent J.
Who doesn't love a silent?
That'd be a great name for a cafe, Silent J.
Or a band.
There used to be a silent cafe, I think it's still there, in my university called the Flying A.
I've been to Flying J's, which are auto stops.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. You know what? I feel like there's so many more cafes to talk about, but maybe we can keep going in the Patreon episode and talk about more of cafes from around the world.
We'll do that for sure. Well, folks, thank you for joining us today, and we hope you were able to listen to our PBS coffee chat and fall asleep. If not, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. We hope you listened and you slept. I don't know. I didn't end it right.
We hope you listen and sleep.